Welcome to the Misfits audio presentation of PawnQuest, What's a Little Robbery Among Friends? If perception becomes reality, then challenging perception just makes sense. Why? Well, when we make quick assumptions, we accept something as truth that may be far from it. Don't believe me? Watch any detective show, and you'll find that the detective will ultimately make some mistakes in logic before they ever put all the pieces together. Life has a funny way of altering our perceptions. Ozzie Green and Birch Wilson own a little pawn shop called the Green Birch in a little place called Sandwich. And every day they buy and sell bits and pieces of life that once meant something. Sometimes it still does. Every item tells a story. Sometimes that story is never told. Sometimes it must be encouraged to speak up. Sometimes the story just makes them tired. Welcome to the Misfits audio presentation of PawnQuest, What's a Little Robbery Among Friends?
The name is Ozzie. Welcome to the Green Birch Pawn Shop. How can I help you, Clara?
I need some used styrofoam cups.
Used?
I don't have much money, and I've got guests coming.
Well, Miss Mason, you're in luck.
Oh, you have some.
No, but the dollar store down the street does.
How much?
A dollar?
Oh, here. I think I have exact change.
No, Clara. You'll need to pay the dollar store.
For what?
The cups.
What cups?
Pat, could you help Clara to the handy bus?
Come along, you sweet young thing.
You remind me of my dead husband, Roy.
Yeah, talk about a mood changer.
Next. What do you have for me today?
Just some old junk. I mean, valuable family memories.
Pawn or sell?
Sell?
Ooh, looky, looky. Here's what appears to be an antique mantel clock.
This is my partner, Birch. He gets excited about antique combs and pocket protectors. Before we go any further, let's find out more about you.
Oh, sure. My name is Hilby Mushman, and I stumbled across these items on my travels through an abandoned hotel in Port Chester. I like long walks in the park and the Texas Two-Step, Southern sweet tea, cheddar biscuits, and reading mystery novels. Anything else?
We just like to know what we're dealing with. Right now, I think it's possible you've attained a black belt in verbal karate.
Sorry. The language of sarcasm is fluent in my family. The name is Joe Watson, and I live here in Sandwich. Pat recommended you at our book club.
How nice. What can you tell us about the clock?
It's my dad's. He had it sitting on his desk next to his transistor radio in Pet Rock.
This is a mass-produced replica of an 1880s model. Lots of people bought them through catalogs in the late 70s and early 80s, along with clacker, mood rings, and the occasional lava lamp.
So it's not worth anything?
I could probably offer $30 for it.
Sold. My mom collected all kinds of figurines.
Fortunately, these are pretty common. The best I can offer is $5 per figurine.
Couldn't go any higher. They've been kept in bubble wrap for a long time. How about $10?
I could go $6, maybe.
What about $8?
The best I can offer is $7, if you throw in the bubble wrap.
Okay. The last item I have is a Chinese puzzle box.
Do you know how this works?
I watched my dad open this once. I already know the middle section of the top slides. That's what allows the top to open all the way, but that's all I've been able to do with it.
That tells me you've got something inside the box that may be more valuable than the box itself.
So the box isn't worth anything either?
Sure, about $20. Another mass production item. You can buy them new for less than $10. It's an older box, making it a bit more collectible, so I think $20 is fair.
What's inside?
Birch loves these boxes. If anyone can get this open, it's him.
Can I get some help over here?
Certainly! Pat, can you help the customer?
Yeah. Oh, sure, it's not like I was sleeping or anything.
How about that?
Did you find something valuable?
$2 silver and a $20 gold certificate bill.
What's that worth?
In this shape, about $80 for the bill.
So you'll give me $80 for it?
No, I'll give you $50 for the coins and bill. $90 is what I can sell them for. If I don't make a profit, then I can't keep the doors open.
After sorting through all the treasures, Joe was sent home with $200. No real treasures in his box, but Birch always looked carefully through every purchase to see if anything else was hidden in the items. As is often the case, there was. While Birch took time to look through every item Joe brought into the store, Pat helped a new customer.
Excuse me, sir. Did you find what you're looking for?
Yeah, I guess. I'll take this.
So, are you a fan of windsocks?
Mark. My name is Mark Foster.
Are you a fan, Mark?
Huh?
The album? Live at Treasure Island? The group Windsocks?
Oh, yeah, sure. Fan. Right.
Looks like $1.07 should cover it. Not many people want vinyl records anymore. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thanks.
Come back again.
Excuse me.
Hey, watch it! Hey, Ozzy, do I have something cool for you today? Look at this poster!
Oh, hello, Ross. Back again? Let's take a look.
When was the last time you saw one of these beauties?
Wow, a Ghost Pirates of Sheboygan movie poster.
It was huge in eastern Wisconsin. They're on the edge of Lake Michigan, you know.
And yet, here we are in far away from Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, I'd like to sell it.
I'm sure you would, but I'm afraid we're really not in the market for movie posters from Wisconsin right now, Ross. We just got rid of one.
Seriously? I bet you wouldn't even know good cheese if you tasted it.
I really am sorry.
You will be.
I hate Porn Rage. And his voice is annoying, like fingernails on chalk annoying.
Ozzy, bring me the magnifying lens, a pair of tweezers, and a breath mint. I'm in the basement.
Did you find something?
No, I have a pretty nasty splinter and a mild case of halitosis. Of course I found something, or I wouldn't have called for you. Well, I might have, just to see that special way you get when you're flustered.
That's not funny.
Are you coming down?
I hate the basement. Pat, you're in charge. Hopefully I'll be back soon.
Take your time. You always do.
Ozzy headed downstairs to a dimly lit basement that seemed little more than a cellar, but Birch liked to think down here. Ozzy always suspected spiders and snakes were hiding in the shadowy recesses of the small basement, but could never provide any specimens validating his unnatural fear.
Magnifying glass and tweezers. Thank you. Aha, there it is.
What are you looking at?
This small roll of paper.
What does it say?
I am not a psychic, Ozzy. Let's see. Two doors down, V2, L3.
Two doors down, V2, L3? That doesn't sound good. Birch, Pat's been hurt.
I'll call the police.
Did anyone see what happened?
I just heard a whack, saw that guy fall, and then some guy ran toward the door with a box.
Looks like he was after the Chinese puzzle box. Thanks, Dari.
I'm not too worried, Ozzy. The most valuable stuff was already removed. At most, we lost $20. I'm more concerned about Pat.
Oogley coconut mambo piano snitch.
Still seems a little confused.
You think?
Birch. Ozzy.
We're by the register, Officer Benson.
Wow, you got here fast. I haven't even had time to call.
I was walking my beat downtown and saw people looking in your windows. I thought I'd check it out.
Pat's a little wonky. Got whacked on the noggin. I don't see any cuts. Just a good thump, I guess.
Paperclip pizza stapler brownies.
Although, it's possible Pat's just hungry for junk food containing various office products.
Anything missing?
Chinese puzzle box.
Valuables?
Not really.
Anything else?
Pat's short-term memory.
Carbuncle curtains, Reno salsa.
Although I must say I can't remember when he's been this amusing.
Birch?
What?
Back to the puzzle box. How much was it worth?
About $20.
I don't think that will be a high priority for recovery. But the assault, that's another matter altogether.
Maybe it would help if you knew it was a short guy with a geeky voice.
Geeky is a pretty subjective term, madam.
No, she's right. Geeky is a good call. It's a young man named Ross Reynolds who comes in from time to time. He frequently has an unusual item or two to sell, often from Wisconsin. That boy does love his cheese.
Today it was a Ghost Pirates of Sheboygan poster.
Whatever. He hit him and grabbed the box.
We just need to get your statement, madam. Thank you for your cooperation.
Festering peanut cardigans.
Perhaps we should get the paramedics over here to check on Pat.
Let me try something. Hey, Pat, it's time to go home.
Well, I'll see you tomorrow. Man, do I have a headache. Ooh.
It's almost like reverse hypnosis. Not sure why it works.
Does this happen often?
Pat is like 142.
He does have a point.
Well, I'll look into this and let you know what I find out. Now, if I could just get your statement. Hey, where'd she go?
Who?
The girl who identified the attacker.
That's odd. It looks like everybody left.
Oh, this is gonna make a great report.
Birch Wilson is alone in the basement of the Green Birch, and he's tracking down a lead from the note he found inside one of the figurines.
Let's see. Two doors down, V2L3. Is this a physical location, and if so, where? Looks like it's the name of a restaurant, a building contractor, a pottery shop, and a song. Two doors down. The restaurant is right here in Sandwich. Hello, this is Birch.
Found anything yet?
Maybe. At least it's a lead. Meet me at Two Doors Down. It's a restaurant at the corner of Reuben and Panini.
On my way.
Two Doors Down is a busy restaurant offering comfort food, casual atmosphere, and a decent pie with mediocre service. There may be clues here, or perhaps just cheap soup.
Ozzy, over here. You're going to love the apple pie, Ozzy. It's just incredible. But Sharon, she's snippy. Don't ask her about her mole. Say, did you know there's a fishing tournament going on at the lake?
You said something about a lead.
Oh, yes. Did you notice the name of this restaurant?
Yeah, Two Doors Down. But what does this have to do with Pat?
Maybe nothing, but it may have something to do with the piece of paper I found in the figurine.
I thought we were trying to figure out who gave Pat a nasty goose egg.
Officer Benson is doing that. Apparently, he's an expert in soiled goose embryos. Me? I can't get this cryptic note out of my brain.
But what about... Wait a minute. We had a guy in the shop today. Mark somebody? He's right over there. Don't look.
Where?
Don't look.
What? Is that the guy over there?
Birch, stop it. He'll see you. Where are you going? Birch! Birch! Birch!
Hey, is this seat taken?
I'm not waiting for someone, if that's what you mean. But I would like to be alone.
I'm sure you would, and someday you'll get to live out your dream of personal isolation. But right now, I've got just a couple of questions. First, what is that soup? It looks wonderful. Secondly, were you in my shop today?
What shop?
The Green Birch.
Oh, yeah. I bought a record.
Cool. Now, tell me more about the soup.
I don't know. Just the soup of the day. I got it because it fit my budget.
I see. So why did you want the record?
Why is that important to you? Do you always harass your customers?
Well, not always, but we do make exceptions. Look, it's just that you don't look like the type that would have a record player at home.
You have no idea.
So, why the record? And why Windsox?
Windsox?
That's the name of the group. You don't really seem to be much of a fan.
I didn't buy the record for who was singing.
Then why did you buy it? A coaster for a really big cup? Frisbee? Manhole cover? Lampshade?
No.
Then why?
Look, I live in a crummy basement apartment because I earn next to nothing. A part of my window broke. I can't afford to fix it, and my landlord won't. I figured the record would fit over the missing glass and I could seal it up with tape. Better than being cold, right?
Sure. Mark, could I see the record?
It's in my backpack. Is there something special about it?
I don't know, Mark. I don't see anything unusual. But wait, is it possible? Ozzy, come over here and meet Mark.
Well, so much for subtle.
Mark, Ozzy. Ozzy, Mark.
We've met.
Ozzy, do you remember the note?
Sure. Why?
Two Doors Down, V2L3. Look, the seventh song on the Windsox album is Two Doors Down. What if V2 means verse 2 and L3 means line 3?
Isn't that a bit of a stretch?
This is radio drama, Ozzy. People already know they have to suspend reality. Just look at the lyrics. Verse 2, line 3.
Lock my heart in a thin steel cage?
And that, my friends, is our next clue.
Are you guys business owners or detectives?
Yes.
Ozzy went home. Mark finished his soup, and Birch went back to his basement lair trying to put the pieces of his growing puzzle together. Sleep never entered his mind until morning.
Good morning, Oswald Vincent Green, my partner and bestest buddy and friend. I discovered something fascinating last night.
Really?
Yes. I discovered that there is a universal truth discovered in movies. I saw it twice last night watching the really old movie channel.
Does this have something to do with the clue?
No. But fascinating nonetheless.
Then why are you bringing it up?
You want to hear it or not?
Not really.
Great. In any movie, when someone knocks someone else unconscious because they need clothes, then the clothes taken from the unconscious actor will always be a perfect fit for the one taking them for their own personal use. That, my friend, was pure revelation at 4 a.m.
Have you been up all night?
Is it morning?
It's a good thing you're not married. My wife would kill me if I did that.
Does she have a penchant for murder?
Oh, Birch, it's a figure of speech.
Look, if you need an intervention, or better yet, witness protection, just call me. I know people.
I only mean she would be mad.
Who would be mad?
My wife.
Have I met her?
You were best man at our wedding. Of course you've met.
Just don't leave town. I think I need some coffee.
Did you ever think I might want some?
Not really. If I had someone trying to kill me, I sure wouldn't want any. The adrenaline would keep me jittery. No coffee for you, mister. You're going into hiding.
My wife is not trying to kill me.
Denial is to be expected. Sad, really.
So have you found anything out about Two Doors Down?
Two Doors Down? Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I think so. I believe the song clue leads us to a locker.
That makes sense. It did say, lock my heart in a thin steel cage, but what locker?
I've come up with 3 possible locker numbers. The first is 27. This theory uses the 2 in the song title and the 7 as the album cut. Then there is 227 and 2237 if we add the verse number and the line number. That doesn't count variations including reverse numbering alternatives.
Looks like we'll be busy.
Not so fast, my targeted friend. This town isn't that big. We have no bus stations with lockers, no Grand Central station, and I doubt this would be in the school. So that leaves us with...
storage lockers!
No, very bad guess. Not even close. Truly horrible deductive reasoning, Ozzy. And I'm the one who hasn't slept. You forgot the word, thin. The only logical explanation is Hoagie's Bowl-O-Rama.
A bowling locker? What about the key?
That is a puzzler, isn't it, Ozzy Green? I'm puzzling over the puzzler in a puzzling fit of puzzlement.
So are we at a dead end?
I hate dead ends. Hey, what did that guy bring in yesterday besides the figurines and puzzle box?
A mantel clock.
Oh, the possibilities. Let me open the clock here. Could it be?
Looks like a key to me.
And not just any key.
A locker key.
And not just any locker key.
A Hoagie's Bowl-O-Rama locker key.
Which now makes this clock much less valuable. Doesn't have the original key.
Focus, Birch. What about the locker key?
There is a number engraved on the key for those playing along at home.
27.
Does that bell always ring when you're right, Ozzie? That's amazing.
Good morning, boys.
What is this, 1920? We are not boys. We are men, Officer Benson. Not just any men. We are manly men. Men who stay up all night and drink really bad coffee. Men who are sleep-deprived, but never show signs of fatigue. Men who are afraid of our women.
That was weird. Was he inebriated?
Just sleep deprived. He'll be all right.
I gotta say this. This is a peculiar store.
The good news is, Pat's going to be fine, but he's taking some time off. Something about recovering, fishing, and adding crossword puzzles to his list of brain-enhancing tools.
I use Sudoku.
Have you ever tried Ginkgo Biloba?
What were we talking about?
You had something to tell me.
Right. While we're still looking for the guy that clobbered Pat, we did retrieve what was left of the Chinese puzzle box.
Looks like someone took a hammer to it.
Chinese puzzle box? Bowling. Mystery. Key. Murgatroyds.
Is that normal?
You get used to it.
While Birch slept, Ozzie did his best to run the shop alone. It was a relatively quiet day, and as expected, no one asked about the availability of the Ghost Pirates of Sheboygan poster. Once the shop closed, it was time to visit Hoagie's Bowl-O-Rama with a very special key.
We should totally try those curly fries and cheese after we check out the locker.
I could go for some high-calorie starch product with low-grade cheese-like topping.
We should also play a game of pool.
No.
Okay, how about a game of Murgatroyds in the arcade?
No.
Bowling? I heard they will be running the disco ball tonight.
Disco ball? Okay, one game, but then I have to get home.
Well, all right. To the locker. Stealth mode.
You are drawing a lot of attention, Birch.
Yes, you are. To the lockers. And be quiet.
Isn't that what I said?
You did say that. She just added the quiet, which I happen to agree with.
I want what's in that locker.
You don't seem to be especially threatening, Dari. Besides, you're in our store all the time. We have your address and phone number. We know your mother.
Dari used to be one of our best customers.
I have a bowling ball. Don't make me use it.
Why, Dari? Why? What brought about this life of crime? Did you grow up in a home of hoodlums?
Leave my mom out of this.
I've got it. You have poor taste in friends.
Look, the man you bought the clock, puzzle box, and figurines from was Joe Watson.
Okay.
Joe's father worked for my grandfather.
Were they friends?
Not really.
Were they even on the same bowling league?
It doesn't matter.
You seem confused.
Ozzie, I don't know how you work with him.
I mostly hum Irish folk songs in my mind when he's talking. It kind of works, except I'm really tired of trying to hum and bagpipe.
Aha, you have been disarmed.
Oh!
Are you hurt, or were you just humming? I thought I heard hints of Danny Boy in there.
In pain!
Now look what you made me do, Dari. I dropped a 16-pound bowling ball on my friend's foot. I hope you're satisfied. Ozzie, sit down and elevate your foot. I'll get to the locker. Oh, and order the curly fries with cheese. Would you like some, Dari?
I could go for some fries. No cheese. I'm watching my figure.
Okay. Ozzie, order the cheese on the side. Hang in there, buddy.
While Ozzy and Dari ordered cheese fries, Birch made it to Locker 27, turned the key, and retrieved a singular item from the recesses of the small space. Then Birch returned to the table.
A locket. All that was in the locker was a heart-shaped locket. Why did you want it so badly, Dari?
It's personal. Then again, maybe you can help. Look here. The inside of the locket reads, Dear M.S., Old Home Attic. Love, R.S.
Ooh, another conundrum wrapped in a riddle with a slice of perplexity for texture. Grilled on Bohemian rye. Just the way I like it.
When I was 12, my mother told me a story about how my grandmother was once in love with Reginald Stafford. No, it couldn't be.
What couldn't be?
Could the R.S. in the locket refer to Reginald Stafford?
If so, that would be incredibly convenient. Wasn't he the only famous author to come from Sandwich?
No, don't you remember Fern Whistleberry? She was as fine a writer as... Nope, you're right. Reginald was the best we've had.
My grandmother told me that Reginald had written a story just for her, but it was never published.
What was your grandmother's name?
Mary Thomas.
Ooh, and we were on such a roll until this colossal stumble on the 20-yard line of mystery football.
That didn't even make sense.
I'm pretty sure it did.
Never mind. So who was this M.S. on the locket?
My grandmother's maiden name was Sullivan.
This is like a mystery in a convenience store. I'm loving it. So you're thinking that Reginald Stafford left this locket to tell your grandmother that the manuscript did exist and provide a clue as to where she could find it?
Could I hope for so much? It would mean so much to my family if you could help me to get the manuscript.
The problem is, the Stafford House is now a museum, and we would be breaking at least 5 laws and several ethics codes by sneaking into the attic to look for the manuscript. Plus, Ozzy creeps around like a moose.
But you're so good at figuring things out.
Flattery will only get you fries, and possibly a refill on that soda.
The three did finish the fries, soda, some hot dogs, a pizza, and a few antacids before calling it a night. But the mystery would take an unexpected turn the next morning at the Green Birch.
Hey, Birch, are we going to the Stafford House to look for that manuscript?
I don't think so.
Why?
Mostly because you let Dari win disco bowling last night. I may never forgive you.
Birch, it's not my fault. I had a bruised foot, and I didn't even want to play.
That's because you're a wimp. A wimp who moves like a lame walrus.
I do not!
I hope I'm not interrupting.
Somebody needed to.
Look who I found slinking around outside.
Slinking? Really? Do people use that word anymore? Skulking, maybe. Slinking? I don't think so.
He was watching you from across the street.
Hello, Ross. Got any new posters?
I was only minding my own business. I was feeding pigeons, yeah.
With binoculars?
Okay, bird watching. Up close.
Liar. There hasn't been any birds here since the meteor shower that caused either baldness or superhuman strength among the townsfolk.
Birch, that never happened.
I'm pretty sure it did. Someplace in Kansas, I think.
Look here, Ross. We got your fingerprints on the Chinese puzzle box, and witnesses say you were the one who conked Pat on the head.
Again with the ancient words. Conked? You are a very talented law enforcement officer. You should be a crime-fighting linguist. Just outstanding.
Look, do you want my help solving this crime or not?
Not really.
Don't pay any attention to Birch. I don't think he's had his calorie-rich convenience store honey bun this morning.
Well, look who's here. Pat, welcome back. Are you feeling better, my aged compatriot?
Better? Yeah, well, a bit, I guess. I just came in to get my check.
Look, here's the guy that scrambled your brain.
Birch, that's insensitive.
It is a little rude, even for you.
Yet look at Ross and Pat. Both seem like they got their hands caught in the cookie jar. Thought I'd try to use your language, Officer Benson. Cookie jar.
Nice touch.
Thanks. Ross, how much did Pat pay you?
What?
To stage the assault.
Oh, I did it willingly.
Ross, I'm more confused than a break dancing turtle.
Break dancing turtle. Ooh, I might use that one.
Thanks, but it's not original.
Really? Let me clear things up. Ozzy, how many people did we talk to about the Chinese puzzle box caper?
Caper? Ooh, you're on a roll.
We talked to 4, I think.
Actually, 3, but who's counting? Me. I'm counting. And here's what really happened.
Glad you're here tonight. Glad you're here tonight.
I hope everyone read Employment Clue by Charles Dunkheim.
One of the best mysteries I've read this year.
I cried, then I fell asleep. I fell asleep.
Too bad real life is just cool.
Maybe it could be. I have an idea.
There was no pay involved in this pawn stalker fluffle. That's New Zealand speak for hullabaloo. Hubbub. Caterwaul. Nothing? Really? Pat, you and your mystery novel friends begin devising your own real-life plot. Joe sold a few things he wanted to get rid of anyway. Placing the old piece of paper in the figurine was genius because you knew I'd look. If I'm wrong, correct me at any point. No? Moving on. Then you had Mark buy the album with a clue you knew I'd follow up on. Then I spotted the book, Employment Flu, in Mark's backpack at the restaurant. This was the same book Pat has been reading here at the shop. Joel told us he loved reading mystery novels, and Dari mentioned her book club. I live in a world of mystery convenience. There are truly very few coincidences, but this story had one right after another, making it way too tidy.
When were you going to tell me?
I was working on it just before Officer Benson came in with Ross. Speaking of Ross, he was a key figure in the ruse.
Ruse?
Yes, a word Officer Benson would understand and appreciate.
Is ruse spelled with a U or two O's?
A W.
Are you sure? That doesn't look right.
Not sure at all. Ross pretended to whack Pat after being told we wouldn't buy his Ghost Pirates of Sheboygan poster. Pat fell to the ground like a sack of spongy potatoes.
I thought my acting lessons in community theater really paid off. Carbuncle curtains, Reno salsa. Oh, you should have seen your faces.
It was convincing, Pat. Then again, you've had centuries to practice. Here, a throat lozenge.
Oh, thanks.
What didn't make sense is we had the Sheboygan poster on that wall until just last week. Same small tear in the lower right-hand corner, hanging up on the wall right over there.
How did you know? I watched you go downstairs, and I was told to deal only with Ozzy.
I didn't know for sure until you just admitted it.
He's good.
Good? I don't know. You think I'm good, huh?
Looks like Pat bought it and gave it to you.
How do you know?
There's special approval needed on employee discounts.
Yeah, what can I say? I'm frugal, but apparently not much of a thief.
Oh, Pat, what's a little robbery among friends?
So where does Dari come in?
Through that door right there.
I was supposed to convince Birch and Ozzy that there was a real treasure waiting at the Stafford House. By the time they figured out it was a dead end, the fishing tournament would be over and Pat would be back at work.
How did y'all figure it out?
Let's see. The album that led us to the locker is 18 years old, yet Reginald Stafford died 30 years ago. Dari's grandmother got married 50 years ago. So if Stafford left the locket for Mary Sullivan, it would have been left 12 years before the bowling alley was built. And unless he's leaving jewelry in a bowling alley as a ghost, then the clue itself couldn't be trusted.
Now that you mention it, the necklace did look new.
Well, our little game was worth a shot.
Robbery is just rude, Pat.
Isn't being rude a part of the job description?
Hey, can we get back on track? I'm solving a mystery over here, and you two are talking employee assignments. So when the mystery didn't add up, I had to go back to what I knew. It all came down to the sandwich fishing tournament. I saw a flyer at Two Doors Down Restaurant. I know Pat loves to fish, but I also know he already used up his vacation days.
So, all this was about getting some time off of work.
Eh, I guess it was.
Which is why I have a proposal for you, Pat.
You gonna fire me? I probably deserve it.
You do, but I'm not firing you. When a man who has lived to see both the parting of the Red Sea and the creation of the wheel feels the need to fish more than work, perhaps he should consider slowing down.
What's your point?
I'd like to hire Ross to help out 2 days a week. There's something about his voice that annoys Ozzy, and that makes me happy. If you need to be gone, you can work it out with Ross.
Hey, I can live with that. And now, if you'll excuse me, those fish aren't catching themselves.
You're not pressing charges, and I get a job?
Once you pay me the $20 for the Chinese puzzle box, we're good.
So, what am I doing here?
Having coffee with a few friends?
I don't know. It all seems weird. I was hoping for some arrest and a reason to use my handcuffs, siren, and possibly my traffic whistle.
The day's still early, Officer Benson. There's a whole lot of daylight in a city fraught with secrets, mysteries, and book clubs in need of better leadership.
I heard that.
The city of Sandwich is not unlike any other community in America. People live, die, read newspapers, and pull elaborate jokes on their bosses. Some just get out of hand, and when they do, Birch and Ozzy will be there to add their own peculiar voice to the mayhem. Sometimes they will cause it. Sometimes it will sound like the humming of bagpipes. You've been listening to PawnQuest, What's a Little Robbery Among Friends? We'd like to thank our cast, Natalie Stanfield Thomas as narrator, Russell Gold as Ozzy Green, Bethany Isbell as Clara Mason, Glenn Haskell as Pat Newman, Tom Chalker as Birch Wilson, River Canoff as Joe Watson, Daniel Weiss as Mark Foster, Chris Ridgway as Ross Reynolds, Captain John Tattersack as Officer Benson, Katie Denhart as Derry Boyd. PawnQuest, What's a Little Robbery Among Friends, was written by Glenn Haskell and produced by Glenn Haskell and Mike Murphy. Executive producer, Captain John Tattersack. Theme music for this story was composed and performed by Phil Carney. Additional music by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com. Mixer, Joshua Miller. Script editor, Cheryl Collins. Webmaster, April Sadowski. Art director, Ted Sanderson. Dedicated to the partnership of misfits, best friends always have flaws. This series embraces friendships that survive the flaws. Special thanks to the inspiration of regular folks with regular flaws finding adventure in the everyday stuff of life. This production is for enjoyment purposes only. I'm your narrator, Natalie Stanfield Thomas. This is an original production by Misfits Audio. Copyright 2012. All rights reserved.